Welcome to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Tuesday, August 14, 2018. Andrew Mays with you for the next 25 minutes to update you on all the latest in the world of sport. Let's start with footy news. Jesse Hogan yesterday outside Scan TV. Steve-O would have been there. Hopefully everything's okay for the big Melbourne key forward.
I'm getting scans now. We'll find out, but at the moment I'm not too sure. It's feeling better today, so hopefully I just got maybe just tweaked it a bit. So, it's feeling better today, so hopefully all good. I'm probably midway through the second quarter. I started to notice it, and then probably sitting down at halftime and coming out of the halftime break. I came up pretty sore, but then got through the game, so hopefully it's nothing too serious.
Jesse Hogan there on his foot injury. Now to Jeremy McGovern, who gave us an update on Josh Kennelly and whether he'll be back for the Eagles.
I've sort of asked him, he's got to train this week and see how he goes, but cliche again, but it's a week-to-week sort of thing with him, which it is. So I think once he sort of trains this week, we'll get a bit better on him.
And sticking with big injuries at the wrong time of the year, Paddy Ryder, unfortunately, with another injury on the weekend. Michael Voss is not confident he'll be right within the week.
But I would have thought Paddy's still probably sitting less than 50-50 for this particular game. They're things that we've gone through before. I don't think we've found an adequate solution yet. So, so for us, that's something that we've just got to try and not just solve so much the ruck, but even just what we put at ground level.
And in case you missed it yesterday morning, a brilliant final round of the PGA Championship. Brooks Koepka winning his third major in about 18 months.
And don't finish it out yet.
No.
Hold on.
No.
He asked Adam.
Yep. Koepka captures the PGA Championship.
Yeah, very quick to putt out there. Obviously had something to get to after his round of golf, Brooks Koepka. We'll hear a little bit more from him and Adam Scott after he finished third later on in the Breakfast Bite.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
The Breakfast Club this morning coming up after 6. Plenty to come on the show with Half Whitey and Jimmy Max Gorn in the studio in the Inner Sanctum after 7 this morning. Looking forward to chatting to Max. We'll also chat to Greg Chalmers, Australian golfer who's on the USPGA Tour. He'll tell us about how hard it is to compete with some of the guys like Brooks Koepka who drive at an absolute mile. He'll also tell us what it was like as a pro watching Tiger Woods back to somewhere near his best. Russell Milton will update us on all the Premier League action from the opening weekend after 6:30 this morning. We'll head to England earlier than that too to catch up with Callum Ferguson, who made a century last week in their T20 competition. We might get a bit of a comparison from him as well between that and the Big Bash, what it's like playing cricket over there in England. Let's start with all the footy news, though, on the Breakfast Bite. And we're going to start with Max Gorn, the D's big losers from the weekend. As you heard off the top, Jesse Hogan getting scans on his foot. Hopefully that's okay for the big Melbourne key forward. But Max Gorn here speaking yesterday on what went wrong.
120 uncontested marks. That's off the top of my head. I can't remember if it was exactly that, but any team that has that can control a game of football the way they want, and they were able to do that. And the other thing with 120 uncontested marks is you're chasing around a lot, so we were probably tired come attacking, and that was definitely shown with how lacklustre we were inside 50. The reality is we got two top eight teams to go, and we need to win one of them, so if not both. So that wasn't spoken about going into the game. Going into the game, we spoke about Sydney and the way we got to beat them, and unfortunately, like I said, with those uncontested marks they took, we didn't really execute the plan. You probably see some pretty sad faces coming in today, but the good thing about our team, especially this year, is come Tuesday or even Monday arvo, we're pretty excited to play the team that we got next, and that's the Eagles, that's in Perth, it's travelling with the team. All things we like. We travelled pretty well. Last time we travelled, we beat the Crows over at Adelaide Oval, so we're pretty excited to get over there. We got to move on. As much as it hurts, and all the Melbourne supporters out there, I'm feeling as much pain as they are. But we've got to move on to West Coast, and it's a golden opportunity to get on the road as a team and take on the Eagles.
Another one of the big losers from the weekend was Port Adelaide, coughing up that lead very late on in the game at the Adelaide Oval, where West Coast were able to win it after the siren for the second time in a row against the Power. Michael Voss spoke yesterday, first of all, about Charlie Dixon and his loss for the rest of the season and how Port's season has gone very late on in 2018.
From our point of view, it means that we're forced to go mobile. That's what it means. So, but the injuries come, you know, like that. And they're important players to us. Like Charlie and Paddy are important players. But I see no reason why there's not personnel in there to be able to get the job done for us. I think the results are saying around about, if you talk about just pure ladder position, we're sitting roughly around about the same area. But I think we're closer in many ways because we've had more closer games this year. Where the swings and roundabouts go is that gets determined at the end of the year. So as we sit right now, we're sort of sitting on the cusp of the eight. Where you determine is what happens in the next 2 weeks.
Speaking of slip-ups, Geelong had one of those on the weekend to Hawthorn. Joel Selwood here speaking yesterday outside training.
We've obviously been in a lot of close games this year that we've been on the right side of a couple, but we've seen the other side of the other results. So in saying that, we've just got to worry about the next 2 games.
More to come from the Geelong camp. Paddy Dangerfield we'll hear from later on in the breakfast bite. But before we move on to the rest of the sport making news yesterday, we'll catch up with the MRO, Michael Christian, here. First of all, on not giving Gary Ablett a fine for what was alleged to be a dive from some parts of the media.
There was a fair bit of confusion around that because Narkle was immediately behind him. And it wasn't conclusive whether he, in fact, tripped over Narkle. But in any case, there was, in our assessment, a degree of force with the Smith push. And whilst some might argue there was an exaggeration from Gary Ablett, the guidelines around staging talk about excessively exaggerating and didn't believe that he excessively exaggerated in that situation.
Michael Christian's there speaking yesterday. He was also pushed on the Cale Hooker fine. Now, let's have a listen to what he had to say about that suspension.
I didn't believe. I mean, the contact was made in the end with the inside of the arm of Cale Hooker.
So the look of it, though. He's laying on the ground defenceless. Well,
and that's why he was fined. But at the end of the day, you know, those assessments are taken into account. But there's still got to be a degree of impact to even consider those other provisions. It was certainly considered, but in this particular case, didn't believe it warranted a suspension.
Michael Christian there on Cale Hooker from Friday night. The other charges that were laid yesterday, Adam Johnson from Port Adelaide was charged with engaging in rough conduct. $2,000 for him with an early guilty plea. Taylor Walker, the big one, he was charged with engaging in rough conduct against Josh Kelly in that sling tackle. Based on the evidence available and the medical report, he can accept a 2-match sanction with an early guilty plea. Jared Waite from North Melbourne engaging in rough conduct at $3,000 for him. Very lucky that Jackson Trengove got up from that one. Trent Dumont from North Melbourne engaging in rough conduct against Ed Richards. $2,000 for him. Dale Morris was charged with tripping. $2,000 for him. So happy 250th Dale Morris. Sure he won't mind too much. Clayton Oliver from Melbourne making careless contact with an umpire. $1,000 for him. And Dan Hannanbury charged with engaging in misconduct against James Harms in the fourth quarter. $1,500 for him. So the Christmas party at the AFL just gets better and better by the week. To the NRL now, and still plenty of news floating around Penrith after that sensational week off the field last week with the sacking of their coach, the interim coach, one of their old assistants, and missing out on Ivan Cleary at least for the next couple of years, trying to lure him back. Let's hear from Dean Farrar here. This was an interesting comment. He says, the players lost the former coach and started listening to Seraldo pretty much 6 months ago.
I think just the way he directed us as an assistant coach, you know, especially in attack and the way we run around the thing. But overall, you know, Hook took over everything else and sort of sat back and let Sarah take over. I think, you know, Sarah's a bit more vocal than he was. Not really lost his shed, so I just think, you know, the way the boys responded to Ciro, and to Hook was a bit different. Oh, I think it's just a lot more clear now, you know, what our jobs are, you know, so who do we, you know, sort of talk to or listen up to. So pretty much Ciro, probably more better people person, and, you know, got to know the boys well. I think it helped, you know, Ciro coaching those younger guys in the younger grades and sort of knowing what they were like. Yeah, he's definitely got the qualities too. He's definitely got the, you know, respect from the boys. And he's a lot of guys in the team that he coached in the 20s and really looked up to him. So, yeah, I can't see why he can't be, you know, head coach for the next few years.
A better people person. Geez, that is a whack for his former coach. Sticking with Penrith, Jimmy Smith, Fox Sports NRL expert, says they must land Wayne Bennett in the hope to keep Nathan Cleary at the club for the next couple of years.
If you don't think Cameron Serralo's the man to do it, then you need to get a big name to come in. And they don't come much bigger than Wayne Bennett. And that's for every person that tells you that Wayne Bennett's going to the Panthers, there's someone who will tell you that he's not going to the Panthers. Mm. But if you could say, if you assume that Ivan Cleary's going there in 2 years' time, or in 2021, and you want to make sure that Nathan stays there for that period of time, if you've got a coach like Wayne Bennett to come in and coach them and say, this will ensure that Nathan stays, Ivan will be happy that Nathan's been well coached during his 2 years there. And by the way, Coach Bennett, you could win a comp with this player, this bunch of players. Gee, that becomes attractive.
Well, it does.
And from Phil Gould's point of view, if he can deliver Bennett, then it justifies the exit of Griffin.
So there were plenty of rumours yesterday going around in the NRL that Wayne Bennett's tenure would finish either fairly soon or at the very least at the end of this season, despite being contracted for next year. Brisbane Bronco Alex Glenn here stood by his coach.
Wayne's got our backs, we got Wayne's back, and we're just worried about what we can produce on the field. We're not letting outside noise creep in and interfere with you know, our vibe and what's going on with our team. So we're all on the same page when it comes to what we want to do and being successful these next 3 weeks.
Plenty to come after the break on RSN 927's Breakfast Bite. We'll catch up with all the golf news from yesterday. Brooks Koepka winning another major. We'll also hear from Adam Scott. The rest of your footy news to come, and a little bit of rugby as well in the build-up to the Bledisloe Cup.
This is the Breakfast Bite.
4-iron for Brooks. He's got to cut it, because if he doesn't cut it, he can run it through and under that rough in the back.
That's unbelievable. That is brilliant, awesome, fantastic. Are you kidding me?
Brooks Koepka there, solid as a rock. A beautiful 4-iron there from about 190 metres. He was on fire yesterday in his final round. 4-under for the day, 16-under for the tournament to claim his third major in his last six attempts. So he is just about the hottest player on the planet at the moment. Tiger Woods finished in second with 14-under the card. And Adam Scott, great return to form for him at minus 13. Top three finish. That's his best finish since that win at Augusta a number of years ago. Let's hear, first of all, from the Aussie.
I was feeling really good out there, especially as the back nine got going. It was a bit of a slow start, but everyone kind of struggled a little bit at the start, it looked like, and then everyone got going around the turn and a lot of roars happening out there. It was good fun to be in it, but you know, just missed putts on 14 and 15, and then Brooks made them and my momentum was gone, and I didn't play the last two holes very well.
Still your best finish in a major since that win in 2013 at Augusta. Yesterday you told me that this season was pretty just blah. How would you classify it now?
No, it's a little better, obviously. I had high hopes for today, especially with four or five to go being tied with Brooks, but you know, I'm definitely playing a lot better and moving in the right direction. So that's positive, and that's a good time of year with the playoffs coming up around the corner.
Let's head now to the major champion, his first PGA Championship, Brooks Koepka here.
Look at what I've done in the past two months. It's incredible. Looking where I was, sitting in my couch watching the Masters, and to think I would do this. I would have laughed at you and told you there was no way, no chance. And to do it is really incredible. You know, my doctors, physios, trainers, everybody did an unbelievable job even to get back out on the golf course. And to do what I've done is very impressive. I can't even believe it. you could hear the roars when we were on 10 and 11, and then you could kind of hear it trickle down as they changed the leaderboards all the way through. You could hear a different roar like every 3 seconds. So we knew what was going on. It's pretty obvious when Tiger makes a birdie, I think everybody at the golf course cheers for him. I'm sure everyone was rooting for him. And, you know, I remember that the loudest roar I think I've heard was when I was hitting my putt on 8. Did he birdie 9? He birdied 9 when he made that putt, and I was over it, and everybody's roaring. I'm like, all right, just make this one and try to get through that. You know, 3 majors at 28. It's a cool feeling. It really is.
He's going, okay, Brooks Koepka, 3 majors at the age of 28. To rugby now, it is the build-up to the Bledisloe Cup. We'll hear from Will Guinea here, Melbourne Rebel and Australian representative, on the return of David Pocock to the national team.
It's amazing. He's a world-class player, and he brings a lot to the group, I think, in terms of his ability as a player, but also in terms of his leadership. So we've already noticed that in terms of having him back during June and also in the camps that we've had so far. Well, I think the difference he makes, you all saw at the World Cup in 2015, he was, you know, one of the best players on the planet. So he brings what he brings, as I said, in terms of his ability as a player, but I think as well as driving standards off the field and driving the key elements of the game on the field as well. Well, everything. I mean, I can only speak from my sort of personal point of view, and to me, I'd have to say it's the pinnacle, you know what I mean? The World Cup is obviously up there, but you know, how often do you get to play the best team in the world 3 times and have to win 2 out of 3 to win a trophy? So it's I've been trying for a while now, so you know, really looking forward to another crack.
Will Guinea there speaking yesterday. Now, there has been a release of quite a controversial book. Several former All Blacks coming out and saying that the haka is now overused and it's commercialised. All Blacks forward Sam Kane was asked about that yesterday at the press conference for the All Blacks.
Not at all. And the only article I've seen on it was around Case Muse, and we've been informed that unfortunately he was misquoted, so that's a shame. But from an All Blacks point of view, we love doing the haka. You know, we do a light run through at Captain's Run, and then we bust it out on Saturday, and it's sort of like the final touches of we're ready to go. We're well aware of the strong history that it has, and it's part of who we are as All Blacks. So now it's as strong and powerful as ever.
Let's finish the breakfast bite for your Tuesday morning with all the rest of the footy news. And we'll start on AFL 360 on Fox Footy last night. In case you missed this and went to bed early, back page of the Herald Sun today saying, plan for Dan, Saints pick number 4, part of horse trading for Swans. So Dan Hannabry, one of the major targets. Dan Menzel has also emerged as a possible target for the Saints. And last night, both coaches of St Kilda and Geelong were sitting opposite each other on the 360 desk. Let's first of all hear from Chris Scott on Dan Menzel's future.
Look, if there's validity in this report, and there probably is, I suspect, someone didn't just make it up, then the more pertinent discussions are had between the player's manager, Adam Ramanauskas, in this situation, yep, and St Kilda's list manager and footy manager. I mean, the coaches are often, as Richard said, the last to know. I mean, I don't know about it, but I guess my suspicion is that Dan will stay with us, Richard.
Now to Alan Richardson in response.
Here's what I would say about players getting mentioned. We get mentioned a lot, and I understand that. We've said that we're going to be aggressive. We're going to look at free agents. We're going to look at trades. We'll certainly do a lot of work on the national draft. We're going to look for quality players that can support our list. I'm not going to talk about individuals, but there are times when conversations happen that the coach is not totally across. That's the job of the list management group. Simon Lefflin, runs all of that.
Chris Scott and Alan Richardson last night on AFL 360 on Fox Footy. Now to Patrick Dangerfield. You heard from Joel Selwood earlier on the Cats slip-up. What did Danger have to say?
We don't play the competition just to make up the numbers. We play for finals. So if it isn't that, then it's sorely disappointing. And we're going to make sure that we take care of our business the last 2 weeks. But, it'd be disappointing. But, we can only control what we can control.
Speaking of slip-ups, North Melbourne did that on Sunday when the Bulldogs ran over the top of them after trailing by 28 points at half-time. Jack Zeeble yesterday spoke about North Melbourne's attitude in that game and what they can do in the last fortnight of the season.
We all know how tight this year is, and we just need to focus in what we need to do. And unfortunately, I think we've sort of let that our own future out of our hands a little bit. But we just need to focus in on the process, and that is to become a good footy team. And I don't think we were that yesterday. Across all lines, we probably let ourselves down at various stages. Their midfield was obviously pretty good on the weekend, and I think across all lines they played really well. And for us, we probably had a few guys down a little bit, but you know, a good footy teams can cover that. When they win and when they get over the top of other teams. So we don't expect all of our players to be playing their best footy every week, but we expect our team to be able to cover up those guys and pitch in and get the job done when they aren't playing too well. But I think every footballer's aim is to play finals, and for us it's no different. But at the same time, we understand the bigger picture of, as I said, building a football team that can play consistent football and challenge the best teams no matter where it is or when it is. So that's our end goal, and we'd love that to be this year. And we're striving for that to be this year, and it would be disappointing if it's not this year. But the end goal won't change.
Jack Zeeble there after North Melbourne slipped up on the weekend against the Western Bulldogs. Very quickly here, Orazio Fantasia. He's hoping just to miss 1 week and be back for the Dons before the end of the year.
I've been injured a fair few times this year and then been able to come back straight back into the team and have an impact. So, fingers crossed.
That would be very good news for the Essendon Football Club. Unfortunate news for Collingwood coming out of the weekend was Ben Reid, who has injured his calf yet again. This was in the VFL on Saturday afternoon. Let's hear from Ben Reid, who ruled himself out, basically, for 2018.
Oh, the gut feel is there's probably something there that's probably worse than the one I did in round 10 earlier in the year. It was not ideal, but it's part of footy, and unfortunately these things happen.
Yeah, so a very frustrating couple of years continues for the Collingwood key forward and back, who might have been part of their late season plans, considering the recent injury to Darcy Moore down back as well. Ben Reid here also understands the pain of injury, probably not as much as Alex Johnson, but he did have a few words for his Swans colleague who plays with his brother up in Sydney.
It's shocking for AJ. I mean, I was lucky enough to meet him during my brother's wedding last year, and he's a fantastic fella, and as soon as I saw him go down yesterday, I watched him on the couch, your heart sort of sinks for him. So I hope he's going all right, and I wish him all the best.
And let's finish with Jeremy McGovern, who spoke about that match-winning goal on the weekend after the siren, second time in a row against Port Adelaide.
I wasn't really thinking about too much except the right-hand goalpost, and then obviously come off the boot, didn't come off as sweetly as I'd like. You sort of, heart was in the throat a bit and then come back. And then obviously, yeah, we're all pretty happy, especially with the week we've sort of had. It was nice to finish it off on a high note. He told me it was my turn, so he put a bit of pressure on me. But the boys were all pretty calm about it. Shuey was good. He sort of lightened the mood a little bit with it. And just the look in the boys' eyes, they sort of, I don't know if they were 100% confident in me, but at least they made it look like they were.
To cricket, just before we finish, and Steve Smith was in action in the last 24 hours in the Caribbean Premier League. He is playing for for Barbados. He was LBW after 37 balls to Imran Tahir, making 41 with the bat, 6 fours at a strike rate of 110. Very annoyed, actually, when he walked off the pitch. So Steve Smith out for 41. Barbados, though, winning by 30 runs yesterday, so at least his team still getting the win. Stick around after the 6 o'clock news. Plenty to come on a pretty packed Tuesday on The Breakfast Club. Half Whitey and Jimmy on their way. Very interested to hear from Max Gawn, who'll be in the studio from 7 o'clock this morning. Greg Chalmers will tell us about the PGA Championship yesterday. Russell Milton with all the latest EPL news. We'll head over to England too to catch up with Callum Ferguson, who's been on fire last week in their T20 competition. We'll have the early mail before 7 o'clock. And Scotty Gullen with all the latest footy news. Busy morning coming up, so stick around.
That was RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.